You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. In the wake of the pandemic, few industries have fallen as hard and as fast as tourism. Between mid-March and early May, travel spending in Wisconsin dropped by nearly $1.5 billion compared to 2019. That's in a report by the U.S. Travel Association. Will you travel again once you think it's safe to do so? How have your future travel plans changed? Restaurant workers, how are you adapting? What support do you need? We're at 800-642-1234. Betsy Pudliner is an assistant professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW-Stout, where her expertise is in marketing, value chain management, and consumer behavior. Betsy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We also have Donna Kadri-Folletti. She is an associate professor in the School of Hospitality Management at Penn State, and her research is on hotels and consumer experiences. Donna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. Appreciate being on with you and Betsy.
So one of the first ways our country responded to the pandemic was to restrict travel. Donna, how significantly has tourism and hospitality been changed by the global pandemic?
I think it's been changed more significantly than the entire generation of travelers today will see ever in the past and will see in the future. The fallout continues to evolve, and our comeback, which is starting in Asia, I think will look a lot different, and both consumers as well as suppliers will be changing how they book, how they assess choices, and actually how they interact with each other. The experience will be changed forever.
As you look at numbers, Donna, coming in, where have you seen the biggest cliffs, the biggest drop-offs in travel-related services?
Well, you know, Kate, that's a really difficult question to answer. I think that it has yet to be truly measured. And because of the unique opening or reopening and staged phases in the United States for different categories of services, we're going to see a staggered amelioration of that impact. But airlines obviously have been extraordinarily impacted first and foremost, and probably the hardest hit. And that is coupled with group events, mega events, sporting events. The larger the gathering, the greater the impact has been so far. And then take it down to any place where community gathers, restaurants, bars, and lobbies, if you will, of hotels. So you can really sort of see the funnel in that way in terms of impact.
Betsy, how can just the act of traveling be dangerous when we're trying to stop the spread of an infectious virus?
Well, we have to think about all the contact points that exist where all stakeholders are going to come into contact with each other, as well as the exchange of services. So if we look back historically, how has cleaning changed within like hotels and other areas and restaurants? It's going to be one of those things that we have to look at because it's, you know, how do we keep the protocols going, the social distancing going when we have accumulation within, you know, areas like mega events where you have, you know, 50,000 people in one arena for a major football game.
Well, and certainly in terms of cleaning, you know, time is money. And so extra time spent cleaning, you're also using more products. You might be needing personal protective equipment, PPE. Betsy, you know, a company has to factor in all of those variables as well, I would imagine.
Yes. And plus, you know, do you have the resources already on hand? We're already strapped for your money coming in. Do they have the money in order to buy those protective equipment for their employees? Do they have everything set up? How are they going to have to change the environment for the customer in order to accommodate them?
Donna, let's take a look at restaurants here. They've closed for, you know, limited services. Of course, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled last night that they may reopen. But what ripple effects does this have on community and culture because we gather at restaurants?
Absolutely, Kate. Your question is right on. Our restaurants and bars, catering halls, are as much a part of the economic backbone of communities as it is part of our culture and our fabric of being a society and a community. And it has a ripple effect. Betsy makes a really good point about the contact points in hotels, but also in restaurants. It's similar. The idea that a supplier such as a restaurateur or hotelier can pass along those incremental costs onto the consumer is going to be a pretty sensitive matter, because the consumer is going to be nervous for a while, and they want to see those tangible clues. They want to see that extra effort to give a safety and security to their purchase and to their experience. So consumer demand, and those restaurants that are part of the community, have a long history of a positive community involvement, of safety, security. We are fortunate in our industry. We are highly regulated. And so there are restaurant inspectors, and there's OSHA, and there's a lot of regulations. So our industry is well-trained and well-schooled in keeping their customers safe. And so it's going to be how they can communicate that to their local community, their local customers, and making sure that they're feeling the demand, and the demand will come back.
Have they adapted, though, to this degree in the past? Can you take us back to anything that is remotely like what we're experiencing now for restaurants?
Well, Kate, at Penn State, we looked at three categories of crises, modern crises: economic, health shocks, as well as date-specific incidents such as 9/11. And we found, after looking at all of the research on the past crises and our industry's response, focusing on fundamentals first, safety, security, physical and mental health, being flexible, adapting operational processes, rapid employment of new technologies are some of the ways that we can learn from the past. And the thing about the industry, particularly restaurateurs, is they are truly entrepreneurs and innovators. And so that's what we're starting to see. There's a lot of other insights that we gained. And one is operational trust matters before, during, and after every crisis. And in this particular unique, never seen before, almost more so than ever before.
Betsy, you study consumer behavior, and trust must be a real biggie there. How do you gain back that trust for your customers?
Well, the World Tourism Organization and the World Travel and Tourism Council have put out protocols that basically it's about reassurance. And what we have to do is start also not within the industry itself, but also at university. Stout has a safety, security, and risk management minor, because we kind of saw the trends that were happening not only in the past because of tourism, but also things like this that could happen in everyday life. So what we do is we put our students through scenarios and through training, because they're going to be the leaders of tomorrow, but they also can influence the leaders of today. So what we have to do for the reassurance is we have to be able to communicate and collaborate through private and public partnerships in order to continue not only these protocols, but set up these training modules within the industry. Because the one thing that is going to be is who's going to be the burden for maintaining these, you know, reassurance and the public every day. Inspectors come in how often into a restaurant, how often into a hotel? So who's going to be on the front lines in order to reassure the public that, yes, this is clean, this is, we're following the protocols of social distancing?
We have to pause there with Betsy Pudliner of UW Stout. We have Donna Kadri-Folletti of Penn State back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about tourism and hospitality and what the future holds on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's tourism industry had a record high economic impact last year, topping an estimated $22 billion. And Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Designee Sarah Meany said the state's recent success shows that tourism businesses have a good chance for rebounding from this health crisis. Is your business poised to come back, or is time running out? When you reopen, will vacationers come amid record-high unemployment? Let's talk about this difficult issue. 800-642-1234. We have Donna Kadri-Filetti, a professor of hospitality at Penn State. Betsy Pudliner teaches tourism marketing and hospitality at UW-Stout, and they stay with us for the hour. Betsy, as we were saying there going into the break, that transparency really matters now for customers, that, you know, health inspectors can come through on a regular basis for restaurants, certificates can be on walls, but your customers may want more than that.
Right. And so it's about a marketing issue. It's about having that dialogue and that conversation with not only just the community, but it's probably going to have to go beyond this, you know, like Menominee. It's going to have to go beyond Menominee. It's going to have to go into the cities. It's going to have to be a constant. We're going to have digital media utilization by companies to, in order to get the word out.
Donna, what do you make of how safe people may need to feel before they do take a risk, before they do make those travel plans, book that ticket? How much risk is a traveler going to take?
Well, we know already from the rebound that is beginning in China that young people, those without families, and who have still jobs and the economic wherewithal to travel will come back first. So I think those intrepid first travelers will help people, you know, pattern the way forward, the behavior forward. You know, the transparency issue is very important, and of course communication, consistent, accurate, and authentic communication is the key to any recovery. All stakeholders, whether it's towards your employees or your consumers, must have those consistent, authentic communications. But we may even see things like sanitation lists, which you may have seen in a fast food restaurant on the back of the door of the ladies' room or men's room, the elevator inspection list. You may even see a picture of who cleaned it last and their qualifications. The tangible cues we must give the consumer to make them feel safe are going to have to go above and beyond what's required, and we're going to have to communicate that to our consumers and our guests, not only what we're doing, but that they can participate in being safe and having a good experience while they're traveling.
Donna, as you look at the recovery, what role would you say that business travel will play for this industry?
Well, that's very much tied into the overall economic recovery and the stimulus. Again, advocacy to government entities for assistance in any crisis has been key to a particular geopolitical destination's rebound. And so it will really be about the efforts of employers to be sensitive to their employees' comorbidity issues and risk tolerance. And so until we really have, you know, the ultimate, the tried and proven effective vaccine, we're going to see a slow recovery in all segments. The sooner the economy comes back, the better the government assistance will be, the sooner that group travel and business travel will rebound.
We're analyzing how the coronavirus pandemic changes tourism, how we travel now and in the future, the economy that supports it. We have industry experts here. You're hearing Donna Kadri-Filetti from Penn State, Betsy Pudliner from UW-Stout. And your questions, do you travel often for work? How have COVID-19-related travel restrictions changed your job? When might you travel next? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Betsy, Wisconsin in particular is coming off a stellar year in numbers in terms of travel and tourism. What do we know about how Wisconsinites travel?
Well, we've seen because of COVID-19, before we had a balance between air travel and automobiles, but now we're shifting to more of an automobile-type travel pattern. The state is positioned very well. Travel Wisconsin has indicated that because of the makeup of our state, because of the open lands, and we'll be able to travel more and utilize that open land and the national, or not national park, but state parks and state game lands and everything.
Betsy's right. Wisconsin's really poised for a good comeback. Because of the rural tourism will be the first for travelers to embrace. The great outdoors, of which Wisconsin has tremendous assets, and including some of their wineries. I mean, wine tourism is an important part of all states, quite frankly, and Wisconsin has some excellent opportunities to capitalize on that.
Well, graduating into this economy during a pandemic, it must be just crushing for the grads you're talking with. What are the conversations like for the students who were preparing to enter a career in tourism and hospitality? And Donna, I'll have you go first there.
Well, you know, I'm so impressed. We are inspired by our students every day. I have never met a more creative bunch of young people in my 20-year career. I think they have the energy and the optimism to face this head on. In fact, our Association of Tourism and Hospitality Educators, which is called the International Council on Hotel, Restaurant, and Institutional Education, or CRE, as we call it, has produced several videos and some by our students. I really encourage people to go to CRIE.org and look at these videos of students who are sending messages to the industry and to consumers, along with us, our faculty, that is so positive. They're creative. They're resilient. They are having earning their stripes in this crisis unlike any generation before. So I'm betting on them. I have faith in them.
But they won't be finding jobs immediately, most likely. So what do they do in the meantime?
So one of the things we know, besides being resilient and creative, our folks are compassionate. It is disappointing that their dreams are delayed, but they are. And I think moving home is not exactly what anyone had in their plans. Staying together with their roommates or not moving to the big city and moving to perhaps a secondary or a tertiary city where tourism and travel may come back sooner than the high-density first-tier cities, I think those are disappointing. Being safe and being creative, if you will, their earning potential will come back. But right now it is delayed. You're absolutely right.
Betsy, how are you talking with your students under these circumstances?
Well, we're talking one-on-one in conversations and supporting them as much as we can. We're producing videos to aid them and how we feel, because we're the same where, you know, we want to be on campus, we want to be able to aid you face to face. So we're working with industry as well to help our students out there, especially those interns that have been canceled, internships that have been canceled. And we're working on hopefully getting them to get a skill set in developing while they're sitting home. It's like, let's learn something new. So it's those one-on-one conversations that really help. And we reach out and hopefully the students understand that we want them to talk to us.
When they do reach out and talk with you, what are they asking for? What are they feeling?
Well, the tension and the nerves are very great right now with them. The uncertainty, the fear factor is very high. Again, it's about reassurance. We do rebound as an industry after a lot of the different crises out there. We just have to help them and go that extra mile as teachers, as, you know, mentors, and say, look, this is what we need to do. Let's come up with a plan of attack in order to help you with those job opportunities that are going to come down the pike.
And as you talk with Donna, go ahead. Yeah,
I was going to say Betsy's right. I mean, our curriculum across all of hospitality management and tourism management, those skills and the things that we teach our students are transferable to many settings. So their skills are applicable to other service contexts, without a doubt. They didn't choose those originally, but they may do those temporarily, and it quite frankly will strengthen their skills. Our broad and deep, it covers every management aspect of dealing with the public and with service. So number one, we find that they have the confidence to go into whether it be a healthcare setting or some other service setting. Online retail, of course, which has been booming, we're finding our customer service ethic and the understanding of complex operations, which is what we teach, complex operations in hospitality management. And those skills are applicable to where the needs are right now. So as I said, dreams delayed, but I think there are some opportunities where our graduates will find their skills employable.
We have Donna Kadri-Folletti of Penn State, Betsy Pudliner of UW-Stout. As we look at the status of the travel industry, we'll continue this after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Visitors spent nearly $14 billion in Wisconsin last year, creating an estimated $22 billion economic impact, supporting more than 202,000 jobs. Those numbers from the State Department of Tourism released earlier this month. 2020 numbers, though, that may be a whole different story, gut-wrenching. We're exploring what happens next for travel and hospitality. Do you anticipate traveling again once it's safe to do so? How have your travel plans changed due to the pandemic? Let's talk about it, 800-642-1234. We have tourism and hospitality professors Donna Kadri-Folletti from Penn State and Betsy Pudliner from UW-Stout, and they stay with us. So, you know, Betsy, governments around the world have been telling people to stay home. Wisconsin is opening up after the state Supreme Court ruled last night. Will the different approaches to stopping the coronavirus change our approach to where we venture in the future? You may have to plan based on the city or the area you're headed to and maybe, you know, what it means to even stop along the way to get to your destination. What about those logistics?
Well, travelers are going to have to take a little bit more time in their decision-making, yes. What we're going to have to see from the industry standpoint, of course, is that communication and put out information to the traveler. It's going to be that decision-making is going to be very, not complex, but more intricate, that we're going to need that information. Like you said, the certificates on the wall. But again, getting out on using technology and using digital portals in order to get that information out, because we are a connected society.
Yeah, intricate planning there, Donna, for travel. What do you see going on there? Will we go into the details of our own logistics?
Well, I think that consumers will, because humans need to travel. It's who we are. And we've seen that after every modern crisis, travel rebounds. Now, how this rebound will look and how it will stage itself is going to be unique. The cues that we've been speaking about, the places, first, it's going to be a phased comeback or rebound for our industry, just as it is for all of the states that are reopening in phases. And so travelers will choose to stay with trusted brands, known owners and operators, places they've gone to for years that are part of their community and are well-trusted. They will drive, and then they will take a train or some other type of transportation before they will fly. And so they will be, as was pointed out earlier, social media and all messaging, all communication that indicates to the consumer the safe part of this is important. I think the difficulty in understanding the consumer's adaptation to the new travel normal is going to become when the inconvenience or the friction factor makes it more burdensome to travel. We saw this after 9/11 and all the increased security measures put in air travel. They are routine today. We've adapted. Everyone thought it was going to be a long-term blow to air travel. It wasn't. And so it's really about how long the consumer will take to adapt to these new processes in their decision-making and in their travel experience.
Well, passenger traffic, though, is down 95% on U.S. airlines. That seems very low. How long does it take to recover those planes and get people back into seats, spread out?
Well, that, Kate, that is the question. You got it. That is the question. And this is like, I mean, it has been an overused phrase, but unprecedented, truly. So this is both a supply and a demand problem. It's not one or the other. The shock is to both sides of the equation. And so it will come back. The length of time is to be seen. I do think travel will be the last to recover in the most robust way.
Let's take a call now. Mike is joining us from Slinger this morning. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Yeah, I just told you a screener. My wife and I usually fly to Florida in November, but this year we're going to drive. And we're going to, we're going to stay over one night. And we're going to book a motel, the kind where you back up to the door or you drive to the door and go in instead of going into the hotel. It has a lobby. And I'm going to book it for two nights. And then we're going to go on the second night so that I'm pretty sure that the motel room will be empty for the 24 hours prior to our arrival. And, you know, I feel bad for the airlines, but I'm more concerned about going through an airport than I am about getting on a plane. It's pretty easy to sterilize a plane compared to an entire airport. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
Mike, thank you for bringing those plans for Florida this November. And Betsy, that goes back to our contact points. Mike making very specific plans there.
Yeah, Mike makes a good point. What we're looking at is, and he brings up a good point about Florida and his plans for the hotel room. What protocols are suggested by, again, World Tourism Organization, WTTC, is that we're going to have information out there and put on either a board or put in, on the front door and backing up to that hotel room that, when was it last clean? When was it last occupied? How are we going to control the traffic going through an airport to get from point A to point B? It's going to be interesting. I know in Asia they're setting up now in their airports sanitation stations where you have to walk through a sanitation station. It's not just the sanitation where you put your hands underneath and rub your hands with things. It's actually you are going to walk through a mist in order to be sanitized. So how's that going to change?
Yeah, Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike is not alone, right? He is not alone. What I predict is that there is going to be a true comeback of the RV and camper industry.
Oh, yeah.
And that this summer we're going to see the rental market for campers and resale market going to be terrific. What a wonderful retro family vacation and even honeymoon. I'm thinking of the Lucy and Desi movie, the long trailer. If you haven't seen it, check it out on TCM.
It will get us ready for it. Thank you for that image. We have tourism and hospitality professors Donna Kadri-Folletti and Betsy Pudliner here answering your questions, hearing your concerns about the future of travel. 800-642-1234. Let's take another call now. Maliki with us from Richfield. Hi, Maliki.
Hi.
Hi.
Talk about something a little bit more within the state and short term. In July, we were supposed to have EAA AirFest in Oshkosh, and unfortunately, that's been canceled. And I've been reading some stuff about that impacting their local economy.
Yeah, Betsy, I'm going to have you field that one because, we're seeing now so many events canceled, conventions canceled, concerts, trade shows, and, of course, some really beloved community events.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I didn't hear the last part of Malachi's question, so if he could repeat, or if you could repeat it for me.
Are you still there?
Oh, yes. Just that there. I've read some stuff about like how that's going to impact the local economy there, and that there's concerns that they're going to struggle because of this.
They are going to struggle. You have to think about it. If this is the only event that's happening in that local area, and they only support those jobs for that short of a time, that money is now gone. The tax revenue is gone to support local services. It's going to have to be, how are they prepared to handle the absence of that event? I can speak for my own hometown back in Pennsylvania. I am from Pennsylvania. Johnstown holds Thunder in the Valley every summer. It's not going to happen this year, and that was their major tax revenue and major revenues for all the different industry partners that came in and their sponsors. What's the plan now to recoup that? We're not going to be able to recoup that until 2021. So again, are there plans in place? Do we postpone it? It's going to be a community effort that they're going to have to come together.
And there's such a domino effect there because there are so many other businesses and feeder organizations that also go into putting on that one large event, I would imagine, Donna.
Right.
Yes, actually, Kate, you're right. And I'm sure Betsy was about to talk about the tourism multiplier effect for every dollar spent in tourism, what it contributes to the community. It is devastating. It is one of the reasons why the National Restaurant Association has created Takeout Tuesdays and other events to try to support at least the community and local restaurants. And it's important. I know that a lot of folks try to do to support their independent and boutique or non-brand names, but it's important to remember our industry structure. And we have the highest number of franchises in our industry. So your local quick serve restaurant, whether it's a Red Robin or a Subway, is still employing community members. And in the case of Red Robin or perhaps your McDonald's, it's a local community member, a citizen of the town that owns those locations and contributes back to their community. So it is important in absence of these events to try to support your local outlets.
Yeah, that is a local owner of a franchise is someone in your immediate community, even if it is a franchise business. Looking at the pandemic effects on the travel and tourism industry, we have a pair of researchers with us. UW Stout's Betsy Pudliner is here, Penn State's Donna Kadri-Folletti. Where might you consider traveling this summer? What travel plans have you put on hold? Will you go to sit-down restaurants, your local community restaurants that you love? Will you avoid people and gatherings, even if events are put on? Still time to talk about this and where the future of travel is headed. We're at 800-642-1234. Email your thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hotel chains cut workers, restaurants, and attractions remain dark. Hyatt Hotels president said this week COVID-19 has thrown the industry into unknown territory, laying off 1,300 employees worldwide, 350 in Chicago. Donna Kadri-Folletti is watching this as associate professor in the School of Hospitality Management at Penn State. Betsy Pudliner, an assistant professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW Stout, and they stay with us. Let's take another call now. Anne is with us from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Anne.
Hi. My husband and I visited friends in Florida at the end of March, and we had a rental plan for April, but it was canceled, so we had to travel back north. And what we did was stay at bed and breakfasts, and I would highly recommend that. They had between 30 and 50 cancellations at the ones we stayed at. we were the only guests. The places were immaculate, and we had a great breakfast. We did stay at one hotel where we were given a breakfast of, I don't know, packaged junk in a bag, and there were people there touching everything. I would highly recommend it. We had several friends who followed suit, and they were very pleased also. It's a little pricier, but really worth it for the safety and getting a great breakfast.
Well, Anne, thank you for the call. Betsy, what are we seeing out of B&Bs?
Well, Airbnb, and it's about the protocols again and setting up, you know, how are we going to make it, you know, clean enough for our guests? Instead of having that pen, instead of having that, you know, notepad and other surfaces, you may see, you know, the wipes put down for use in the Airbnbs and stuff. Again, they're setting up protocols across Airbnb to help them in that, keeping that safe and everything. But I wanted to also touch about Donna's comment too, and also Anne makes a good point about the Airbnbs, about utilizing smaller businesses. And not just the franchise aspect. Go to the smaller businesses. Go to your local restaurants. They need help just as much as the franchise. They're working hard in order to assure the safety of their consumers, because they're putting out there that we are open. We're open for business. Please come and utilize the service.
Donna, what do you?
Yeah, Kate, Anne and Betsy make a good point. It comes back to hospitality is about people. It's about humans that you trust. It's that who you can look in the eye. And what Anne described is people who are on premise, who are taking care of this business like it's their own, because it is their own. And that's the kind of confidence that consumers will need. And so maybe not all bed and breakfast would be as good as Anne's is, but it, you know the owner. It's about trust. And so conveying that, whether you do that in social media, by picking up the phone on the second ring, whatever your operational protocols are, but it's ultimately about people who are accountable, responsible, and gracious.
Well, Anne, thank you for the call. Let's go to Kevin now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
We're both retired, and we spend a fair amount of time in restaurants, or have, probably 8 to 10 times a month. And that's virtually disappeared, of course. And I really don't anticipate that coming back for us for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. I'm disheartened by the number of people that don't believe in the sciences, and this thing is going to continue for a long time because of that. I hate to sound like a pessimist, but it's a fact. And we're to the point where we determine that when we do resume some kind of socializing, there'll be 8 to 10 people, most of which is our children, that we will spend time with, and other than that, we're shut down.
Kevin, thanks.
Enjoy your program.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you for those observations and your situation. Donna, Kevin making a very cautious return, and perhaps a year and a half before he visits a restaurant again.
You know, I think what we have seen here, as we have the trend over the last decades, is the power of the consumer and the individual nature of our choices. And that's why marketing today is much more individualized and personalized. And, you know, Kevin and his wife are making smart decisions based on their situational factors. And I would say good for them. I would also say, in terms of restaurant and in-dining coming back, there are really some good guidance coming not only out of the CDC, but also out of the National Restaurant Association, out of state restaurant associations, who are doing a heroic job of getting out to their members and to our industry operators the best, highest level safety practices. But let's all pray for a great summer weather so we can sit outside. and we can dine outside, because I think that that is one possibility to help people like Kevin and his family feel a little bit more safe coming back to the in-dining experience.
Glass half full. Tourism and hospitality professors are here, Donna Kadri-Folletti and Betsy Pudliner, sharing how the pandemic has affected tourism. Let's go to Vic now in Dousman. Hi, Vic.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I am the travel coordinator at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Waukesha, the continuing education department. We used to be UW-Waukesha. And so you can imagine how many trips we've had scheduled and worked for the past year and have had to cancel everything, and some are still up in the air. We don't know what we're going to do. But we have such a loyal group of travelers, and they're hungry to do something. So we've started some virtual tours. They actually start next week. And we have backstage tours. We have a choreographer showing us scenes from iconic dances and then talking about choreography. We have a company manager from Aladdin on Broadway doing a Zoom room class. We've got, Milwaukee Foods has Milwaukee food tours. They have some really, really cool options. They have an ethnic bakery tour.
Oh, wow.
They send you a box of cookies, and then you have a YouTube interactive class, and they talk about Milwaukee and the food in Milwaukee. It's an hour-long Zoom, not Zoom, it's a YouTube. So there's so many things, you professors, that you said that I would like to respond to, but one thing is for sure is that we do adapt. We adapt it to the TSA. It's annoying, but we do it to the TSA, taking your shoes off and going through the security. We'll adapt.
We'll adapt again, right.
Yeah.
Vic, thank you. Yeah, and Donna, there's that creativity kicking in.
Yeah, you know, one thing I want to remind folks is event professionals are event professionals from beginning to end. And as we've adapted to the virtual events, which was a terrific description. I want to do that Milwaukee food tour. We have to remember that the creativity, the planning, the coordination, and by the way, the technological facilitation, we're not all skilled in that. And so it's important that we have professionals like our event management majors who are doing that for us, because it's going to be a terrific virtual experience when a professional is creating it and is facilitating it, so producing it, if you will. So I think he's right. What a great example. Wisconsin's got a lot of creativity.
Yeah, I wonder, Betsy, will virtual tours take off? Do you see that as an opening?
Oh, I think it's an opportunity for anyone to, you know, get the word out and to reassure everyone that they're open for business. UW Stout, we have the facilities to do a lot of different things like virtual reality. The local community should reach out to their local tech colleges, UW Stout, other UW Stout colleges around, you know, Wisconsin. Utilize, you know, the student population. We've got some great graphic, you know, designer students here at UW Stout that they're helping me create virtual reality games and story tutorials for our students to utilize to make decision making. If you don't have a plan in place, you don't have the resources in order to, you know, create something, turn to the local universities for help. We're in this together. We have to work together.
Betsy and Donna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Betsy Pudliner, Assistant Professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW-Stout. Donna Kadri-Folletti, who is an Associate Professor in the School of Hospitality Management at Penn State. Just ahead, it's On Point, how to fight quarantine fatigue. 2 months in, people want out. We hear from the experts about how the concept of harm reduction might help us approach the future. That's On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.